You're listening to AvWeb's audio coverage of AirVenture 2018, AvWeb.com, world's premier independent aviation news resource.
Hi, everyone. This is Kate O'Connor reporting for AvWeb from AirVenture 2018. I'm here with John Slemp of Aerographs Aviation Photography to tell us a little bit about what it's like to be an aviation photographer. John, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Katie.
So when did you start taking pictures?
I started taking pictures in 1984 when I was still in the service in Germany. I picked it up as a hobby.
Did you ever go to school for photography, or are you entirely self-taught?
No, after I got out of the service in 1989, some friends suggested I try it for a living. I was a pretty advanced amateur at that point. And so I went to school in Atlanta for a year and a half to get a grounding in advertising photography.
Now, did you start with aviation photography right away, or did you do other stuff first?
Yes, after I got out of school in 91, I assisted established photographers for 5 years. And we worked on everything from annual reports to advertising campaigns to magazine editorial work. And then I went out on my own, and I had always been interested in aviation even as a kid. And so in 2001, I had an intern for a while, about a week or so, and I was trying to teach him the zone system, which is a process of exposing and processing black and white film. So we went down to an airfield south of Atlanta, and my initial goal was to photograph a P-51. For some reason, they wouldn't take it out of the hangar, and I didn't really want to shoot it in the hangar. So, you know, thanked them for their time and so on. And we drove around the field, and I saw a DC-3 parked there. And so we wound up shooting that the rest of the afternoon. Got some nice pictures, showed them around, and one thing led to another from there. And so, but I had, to answer your question, I had been a generalist up to that time. Portraits, corporate work, you know, some advertising, a lot of editorial work for magazines and so on. So I have a pretty wide background in photography.
So what's a typical day like on an aviation photo shoot?
On an aviation shoot? Well, actually, there's a lot of planning involved, as you might imagine. For instance, I shot a little job for a lady, a flight school owner outside of Atlanta recently. And, you know, I asked her questions, you know, what kind of access do we have to the facilities on the field? You know, what day are we going to shoot because it's weather dependent. I like to shoot a lot of natural light with aircraft. You know, it's their natural element. I mean, I can use strobes and that sort of thing, and I do if I have to. And often do with interiors and cockpits, which I did on that particular shoot. But it's a fair amount of planning. So I say planning, it's not only the logistical aspects, but also planning as far as what camera I'm going to use, what lighting do I need to bring, that sort of thing, what time of day are we going to shoot. And so once we get all that in line, and also, of course, what kind of pictures we need to take. Are we doing just aircraft? Are we doing people also? Because that's a whole other ball of wax as far as equipment goes. And once we get all that sorted out, you go and basically you execute at that point. And so it can be a very long day. I did a shoot in 2014 for Phillips 66 Aviation Fuels. It was an advertising shoot. And originally the goal was to do 32 different shots in 3 days. You know, about 10 different shots, which is, you know, that's different lighting setups, etc. And they cut it down to 24 shots in 2 days. We had five models for specific periods of time. I had a makeup artist, a stylist, clothing stylist, a digital tech, which basically means they handle the digital assets as we go along during the shoot. Had two assistants, a production coordinator, we had catered food, all that sort of thing. And it all sounds kind of complicated, but it's not, you know, it's a lot of moving parts, but when you get down to it, it all makes me as the photographer more productive. And in the end, we wound up shooting from sunup till sundown both days, and I produced 2,300 pictures, and needless to say, I was, you know, almost blind. You know, didn't want to look through a camera anymore after those 2 days for a few days, but you know, we got some lovely shots, and they put it on their website in 2015. The ad agency in Houston submitted it to an awards competition in 2016, and it won a Gold Eddie. And all the pictures on the website were from that particular shoot. So I was quite happy with that. But, you know, it can be as easy as just, you know, a quick portrait in front of the aircraft, or much more complicated. It just depends on what the client needs.
So how much time do you spend shooting pictures versus the processing aspect?
I'd say ratio percentage-wise, probably 35-65. It's a lot of work after the fact. And that's something a lot of folks don't realize. Used to, in the film days, you know, when I first started out, you would shoot the job, take the film to the lab, drop it off. And we usually shot slides, ektachrome, Kodachrome, so we would just call them chromes. And drop off the film, you get it back, you edit it, you know, take out the pictures of your toes and things like that, and send it to the selects to the client, right? And then they would handle it from there. Well, now you're the lab. So I spend a lot of time in front of the computer processing files, organizing them, archiving them. Keywording is a part of it because you want to be able to find it after the fact. You know, friends ask me, you know, how do I organize this mess? And I says, well, it doesn't matter how so much as doing it, because the shoebox doesn't shrink. You know, so you can really spend a lot of time, if you do it properly, archiving, but processing is a big deal, because commercial photographers shoot what are called raw files, which means that the camera doesn't do anything to the file. In a consumer camera, when you create a picture, basically they're JPEGs, which is a small compressed file, and it gets compressed because it tosses color information, essentially. But it also adjusts it for sharpness, for contrast, for color saturation, a whole range of things. And with a raw file, none of that's done. So a lot of times they'll come out of the camera and they actually look kind of flat. And it becomes part of your style, your signature, if you will, as to how you process it. I like punchy colors, but I don't like them so punchy that they're Mickey Mouse colors. But I do like saturated color, and I've had more than one or two people tell me that my pictures look like paintings. And it's not something that I consciously strive for, but you know, everybody sees differently. I'm actually slightly colorblind, but I've learned how to adjust for that. And so, you know, even biology factors into it, you know, so to speak. And when it gets all down to it, it's an aesthetic, it's a taste level, as you will, and it's a developmental process. You know, as you go through time, your aesthetic hopefully changes and improves.
What have been some of your favorite things to photograph?
Some of my favorite things to photograph. You know, when I started in aviation, obviously there's a fascination with the aircraft. You know, having been in the military myself for a number of years, you learn that after a while it's a ride. You know, it's a ride to somewhere or from somewhere. Me personally, I love photographing the vintage aircraft. The stuff from the 1930s, the Art Deco feel, it grabs you. You know, it's a beautiful aesthetic, I think. And I think it was a time when there was a different aesthetic. You know, things were slower then, things were still handmade. And I think there was an appreciation for the aesthetic of the vehicle itself. Not that there isn't now, but it was just a different aesthetic. And so I really love photographing Howard's Stinson, you know, Tri-Motor, you know, just all those lovely aircraft, Lockheed 12A, just drop-dead gorgeous. But the other thing, too, is I realized fairly quickly is that it's the people that make it all go, of course. And there's a bunch of characters in aviation. There really are. And, you know, so I've been fortunate to photograph Wasps, air show performers, original Rosie the Riveters, World War II veterans, you know, pilots of all shape, size, description. And it's a hoot. I mean, every one of them have a different story. You know, and it's just a wonderful way to learn more about aviation and, you know, how it developed to this point.
Finally, John, where can people find your photographs to look at, and how can they come to you if they want you to do a shoot for them?
My website is aerographs.com. That's A-E-R-O, graphs with an S on the end, .com. And that's probably the best way.
John, thanks for taking the time to talk today. This is Kate O'Connor reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is brought to you by AvWeb.com, world's premier independent aviation news resource.